Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of true stories, amazing stories, incredible stories, wild stories, fantastic stories, mind-blowing stories that are told by the people who have experienced them, who lived them. It was their life. It is their life. And everybody's got a little bit of that weird. Everybody's got a great story. We know it. And who are we? We are always Barry Johnston, the smiling sensei, that guy over there, and then this guy right here, Adam Beebe, your other co-host. We're doing it again here live from Weirdsville. Hello, smiling sensei. How are you, sir?
I'm good, professor. How are you, man?
I am doing all right. I say that I'm doing all right, but I'm doing okay. And I say this because I've sustained my semi-annual self-inflicted clumsy injury.
Yeah, right.
This past weekend, I've said this many a time that I can hurt myself walking. Which is again what happened the other night. I kicked my left foot into a my treadmill, as it were, and I was barefoot and I kicked it right on the corner of where the nail is, and I didn't even do it hard. I was just taking a normal step and I just raised my foot and kicked it, and anyway, I gave myself I bashed that toenail in. Sorry, this is maybe a little bit gross, but I gave myself an ingrown toenail. And if you've ever had an ingrown toenail, I rarely use this word, but in this case, I'll say they're a bitch.
Oh, God, yeah.
They are difficult. I was able to walk on it for a few days, and then all of a sudden it became incredibly difficult to walk on after I cleaned it, not after it's like got infected or anything like that. I cleaned it and rebandaged it, and it's more difficult to walk on. So I'm hobbling.
Yeah.
And it's not fun, but, could be worse.
I grew up with ingrown toenails and on both of my feet, and I had – they were so bad I had to get them cut out.
Yep.
And I went to my uncle was a foot doctor. And so I go in and I'm thinking, this is not going to be bad, right? Well, it was maybe one of the worst things I've ever experienced, because he put that needle, and it was probably a 2 or 3 inch needle, all the way into my toe.
Yep.
And oh my God, it hurt. It hurt so bad. He cut them both out, and one of them healed just fine, and there's no problem with it. But the other one I still have issues with.
Yeah.
And I just try to regularly maintain them so they don't get too bad. But it is the worst. I mean, I don't know what it is about the toe, but it's like every nerve ending is in the toe.
Yeah, and
it is some of the worst pain, man, that you'll ever feel. I mean, I think I got mine from my shoes, because I was growing at a pretty rapid rate when I was younger. And so my feet were always like kind of constricted. And just over time, that's what happened. I also had, did you ever have a, what do they call that? The bruise on your heel.
Well, they call it
stone bruise.
Stone bruise.
Yeah. That hurts.
Yeah, but that's not what it is. It's not a bruise on your heel. It's actually it's plantar fasciitis or something.
Is that what it is?
It's the tendons that go from the bottom of your foot around the heel.
Oh, dude.
And I still get that. I still get that. But yeah, funny story with that, the stone bruise is whenever I was little, probably about 6 or 7, whenever I first got one of those or two of them during soccer.
Yep.
To alleviate that pain, I would walk on my tiptoes.
Yeah.
And my dad was very concerned about the fact that here's his little boy just walking around everywhere out in public on his tiptoes.
Yep.
You know, and not, you know, knowing how to say, you know, of course, this is back in the 80s, so it's like, you know, thinking that, you know, if you're walking on your tiptoes, if your little boy is walking on his tiptoes, then he obviously must, you know, be gay. And so my dad was worried about that. And then he asked me, you know, not if I was gay, but why I was walking like that. And I told him, oh, well, my heels hurt, you know, from, you know, after. And then he was like, whew, and put me a little inserts for
those little rubber
ones, dude.
Yeah,
they worked great, man.
Yeah. Well, our shoes weren't very good back then.
Oh no. But here's another interesting coincidence: is the reason I knew all that information about your uncle and the surgery that he performed is because when I got my first ingrown toenail, I ultimately had to go to get surgery performed by your uncle.
I'm sorry.
Nah, dude, it's cool, man. He did a great job because we went to the clinic in Kingfisher, and I think I was probably like 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah.
Went to the clinic in Kingfisher to get them to do it, and they tried to dig it out, but they weren't successful.
Yeah.
Because your uncle really went in and went in and burned part of the root and all this. Anyway.
Yeah. Got it all out, yeah.
But while he was doing mine, he put, you know, let me listen to music on headphones.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Right? And yep. I had a magazine, and it was a Sports Illustrated. Now, you know me, how much of a distraction I need to be reading a Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
At that age, especially.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, because he said I could watch it. And so I was like, no, I'll look at this. And so anyway. Yeah. I got my foot, by the way, same foot, same toe, same place, everything, where my current hazard is. So I've got my foot up, and he's working on it, you know, and I'm not watching it because I know it's going to be gory. And so I, like, at one point, I start to tip down just a little bit to, like, peek over the top of the magazine. And before I could do anything, I just see a spurt of blood.
Oh.
Shoot out onto your uncle from my toe. And I just pulled the magazine up, like, bam, wrecking it. So I couldn't see, but it was just perfect timing, dude.
That's awesome.
Perfect timing and saved me.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he did yours. That's hilarious, man.
Well, we knew to go there because you'd had yours, and I guess obviously. Jerry talked to
Yeah. Oh man, that's hilarious. Well, that's kind of a weird story, and I think one of the more interesting stories that we have on today. We brought our friend Gloria back, and what an episode.
Oh, man. So you may remember Gloria from earlier this year. She had that incredible story about being a gray alien, and her soul is that of a gray alien who inhabits a human body. And she has found out a lot of new information about her youth, about growing up, about things that happened to her in her youth. And it's some wild stuff, and it's incredible stuff. And I mean, Gloria was one of our most requested return guests anyway, with people who wanted to ask questions and follow up. And so it's fortunate that she came back to us and said, oh, I've got all this new stuff. She's also written a new book all about it. So, you know, we're so happy to have Gloria House again on this episode, and we had such a long, good talk with her that we've split it this episode up into two, because our special correspondent and the master of list, Tilly, had a list of questions that we had after the lengthy interview. So we're going to separate that, and we're just going to do the next episode is going to be just focused on the discussions that were prompted by the previous interview and also this interview where she sat in on this interview. So we got a two for a bonus episode basically out of it, but we're going to get right into it and strap yourself in, because this is a wild ride and there's a lot of information, and it is just it's incredible. And it's always awesome to talk to Gloria, because she's her experiences are just incredible. So Gloria, thank you so much for returning and visiting us again. What's your weird story?
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
What's my weird story is that my parents sold me into a secret space program when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Let's get into that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trained off in Black Ops as well. This was against my consent. In the sophomore year, we had our introduction because my dad was transferred with his job. And we moved from Quartzsville, California to Santa Maria, California, which is like a 3-hour drive. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad insisted, because his boss insisted, that we had to go on the day that we traveled. You know, the movers were there loading up the entire house. My dad was already in Santa Maria. It was my mom, my brother, and I in Quartz Hill. By the time the movers got everything done and we drove, you know, my mom said, you know, let's go to the hotel, then we can change there. My dad said, no, you've already got to come. You know, they'll be having dinner for us. Dinner consisted of potato chips.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
A kid's dream, maybe. I don't know.
No, we were starving. We were really hungry. It was a long day, and my mom was not too pleased. And by the time we got there, dinner was actually a party with my dad. My dad was there, his supervisor. When my dad met us at the hotel, so my dad's supervisor was there, and the supervisor's wife was there, and men in black suits were there.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
So we were told to go sit and watch TV, and my brother and I are like, oh, God, when can we leave? You know, we're hungry, we're tired.
Yeah.
And the men in black suits would come in and look us over. So I don't know if my brother was ever chosen. It was the last semester of his senior year of high school, and it was my last semester of my sophomore year. But I do remember missing my junior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
I don't have memory of it. I have little bits and pieces, and I was put into the MK Ultra program.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is this all new information? Is this all like newly discovered by you?
Well, I have been asking for years, and I even went into therapy and into hypnosis and did regression therapy, and nothing came forward.
Hmm.
So it was like, what is going on? So I would ask people, and then in January of 2023, I published my book, My Journey is a Great Hybrid, and in March of that year, I was in, before when it was called Twitter, when we were in Twitter space, and one guy came up and said, how do you know that these are real memories? They could have been false memories. And were you in MK Ultra? And I said, well, my memories of a UFO was when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, we didn't live that far, live 45 minutes from Edwards Air Force Base, but nothing seemed out of the ordinary, except my brother had an abduction. In was gone for several hours. It was really weird. And I realized now it was an abduction, because my dad couldn't even find the car. And then my brother was sick on the side of the road.
Oh, wow. But
that was aliens abducting him. And so I said, no, all of that, things didn't get weird until the 1970, actually. My brother graduated in the summer of 72. So after that, I started my junior year of high school in the fall of 72, and that's when things went dark.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the. I think this is the first.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the first story I think we've had on when someone has been directly affiliated with the MK Ultra program.
Yeah. So
very, very interesting.
Yep. And so then I put up a video on Rumble, which got a lot of attention, which got government coming in out of the woodwork, following me, wanting to do interviews for me to share my desktop. And I'm like, no.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to share my desktop during, you know, an interview. And this is. No, it's like, no, I don't. This is before you could, both parties could record the interview.
Yeah.
And then the person told me, well, this is how it's going down. I said, oh, no, it's not going down at all. I'm not interviewing you. Where, you know, this is the end of it. And he kept harassing me on the phone and stuff. And I said, stop. I blocked his phone number. And then recently in, I don't know if it was July of this year, 2024, or the beginning of August. It's hard to tell sometimes with timelines. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with somebody. It was the end of July. I was talking with someone, and they said, you might want to speak with this person. So I did, because this person is very well versed in a lot of, like, Montauk and the Philadelphia Experiment and MKUltra, MILab. And I was chatting with him. We did a video call, and he goes, you were in MKUltra. They wiped your memory. And when I started explaining everything else, he goes, those were not nightmares. Those were not dreams. Those were, you were either physically there or they were in the program simulation.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, real quick I guess I should kind of break it down for a little bit for our listeners who may not be familiar, but like MK Ultra and the Montauk Project and Philadelphia Experiment were all like they're all now legendary government programs. The Philadelphia Experiment was done to create a cloak for battleships, but apparently they inadvertently created a warp in time, and like they flash forwarded to the future by I think 30 years for, you know, like 30 or 40 years for just a brief amount of time and then back, and that was it was crazy. You should look into that. MK Ultra is a program that was created by the CIA. Mm-hmm. And it was it was trying to make it did a lot of things. It was trying to control people, mind control, by using different means of hypnosis. Drug use. They would dose people with acid and other hallucinogens and trying to break them down so that they could use them for whatever thing that they wanted to do. And, you know, and that's where you get a lot of stories of like the Manchurian Candidate type stuff. And Project Montauk was another one. I think they were doing like trying to make hybrid creatures, I think. There's something like that. Is that correct?
I don't remember. I know that they went out to Camp Hope and they were, I don't know, I think children were involved, but I'm not sure.
There's something, it was in another one of these.
Oh, they had they were doing time travel with children and they were making them open up portals, and a lot of children died because they were unable to open up portals. And it's looked like the old fashioned in the movies, you would have the electric chair with the metal thing on the head and everything else. They would sit in the chair, and quite a few children did die because of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were doing a lot of really what seems like science fiction experimenting after World War II. During the Cold War, and those are some of the more famous ones. But there was something else. There's an on Montauk where some kind of weird creature washed ashore on one of the islands there, and somehow that it's supposed to be it was supposed to be connected to the Montauk Project. I can't remember exactly, but. It could have been, you know, there could have been several things going on at Montauk, just like there were several other things with MK Ultra and stuff like that. But just want to give a quick brief to everybody, you know, definitely go and check out, Google those, find some YouTube videos and stuff, or other podcasts that really do some deep dive in, like last podcast on the left is one I can think of for sure. It's always there. I always do great research. But yeah, so that's just that it's amazing and almost unbelievable stuff, but you know,
but it's real.
It's real. Yeah. and we know it. We don't know all the details of it, but we know that these things did occur in some fashion, and because there's a limited paper trail, and of course a lot of people who like Glory, who had experiences and have told. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. Sorry for the interruption.
No, not a problem. People need to understand. And with MK Ultra what they found out through medication and drugs, they learned how to create an altered personality in somebody's head. Mm-hmm. So similar to dissociation, they learned how to teach the people how they can, and there's a code word that they would use to bring it about in the very beginning. And people who had multiple personality disorder where we created our own personalities, then they were able to use on some of the altered personalities and create them into like a super soldier or a psychic assassin and send them to Mars on the projects and everything.
Like Bucky, the Winter Soldier in the Marvel Universe movies, how he was programmed by the Russians and turned, and his own identity was pushed down, and he just became the ultimate soldier and had, like, you know, no control over his actions. He was just programmed like that. So they would try to program the super soldiers, like you said.
Yeah. Which would be very beneficial to a government, you'd think.
Oh, yeah.
I know there was some talk about Charles Manson being involved in the MK Ultra program or something like that. There is a book that came out not too long ago about that, which is interesting, you know.
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski, right. The Unabomber, was another one who was involved with the MK Ultra program.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. it's very interesting. You know, again, this, you know, the things we do know about it or that are linked to it outside of our friend Gloria here.
Yeah. How many years were you involved? Do you know?
I still am.
Oh, you still are.
Oh, yes. I'm still. It's till death do you part. Once they get you, they know how to get you in your sleep. They can induce sleep. Wherever you, sometimes I can sit down. It's like, what happened? Sleep was induced right away. Then it's like, okay. Then it was like a weird dream. But recently I found out how to voluntarily break out of the simulation. I did it twice. And then they sent me into, I remember the simulation well. I remember being there before. It's like a big arena, indoor arena, where you have horses, and that's what it looks like. But this last time, they had ostriches and emus. And by questioning, what am I doing here, the ostriches and emus were not real. They were 3D, then they went to 1D. They were flat. And then the handler, or the person in charge of the program, was there, but his simulated self stopped. And then I could see him from his mouth down talking into a microphone, and I came out. Well, then I guess they were getting their heads together going, okay, what do we do now? So then what happened was they had put me into, they took me into this other simulation where I was pelted with rain and I can look it up. I mean, I have my book, a copy of my book here available. And they put me in a wind and rain tunnel simulation, and the wind was howling and the rain was beating down on me. And I just said the word no, and I was able to wake up and came out of it. And then after I went back to sleep, I was in a lab. People in white coats and black suits were all there.
Wow.
And I believe they probably gave me more drugs, because after they brought me home, of course, had to wake up because my bladder was calling. Mm. And then when I fell back to sleep, they had sent me to Mars. I noticed that I was in my fatigues, had high-powered rifle over my shoulder. Of course, super soldiers can carry anything. Mm. And then it looked like a floor safe. And I looked at it, and it's square. And it had gears on it and interesting writing. And I'm thinking, what is that? And then another super soldier jumped on top of it and looked. And I saw, what is he looking at? And I looked up, and we were in a crater on Mars.
Oh, wow.
Wow. When does when does this usually happen to you? Is this like is it daytime, nighttime, anytime?
Anytime. At least last night, I know. I think I had some regular dreams and I had a good night's sleep for a change.
Yeah. Are you able to recall all the things that you experienced during that, or are you kind of just wiped clean?
It depends. There are some times where things are wiped clean. It was like, I don't remember everything, and things are starting to come back now, because after a while, the drugs do wear off. We're talking like 50 years.
Yeah.
And, but there are some things that I remember. I remember my training in hand-to-hand combat. And they would put simulators of to tap into my rage from my parents. They had my mom and then my dad. And I didn't care in the simulation that I heard them. You're taught not to flinch, not to have any emotional, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this. Because then some people were put to death in some of the MK Ultra MI lab experiments. I wasn't. I get zapped and with an electrical prod. And it was like, okay, then I will, you know, switch gears. I'll do what I'm supposed to. But when it came to my parents, I didn't care. But it was interesting, even though my half-brother hated me because he didn't know who his biological father was, my parents lied about it. I had a difficult time hurting him.
Mm.
So I would just beat him up in the simulation. But I remember one time after a while, they told me I had to stab him with a saber.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did.
So this is all, okay, so we're going back to when you were roughly 16.
17.
Yeah. And that's when they began the training. And was it physical training? Like, did they take you, or was it all like, how did it begin and how did they like put you through that?
Well, it began with someone coming into my room at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it, and I'm like, who are you? Had a cloth put over my face. So I'm thinking it's chloroform. I was picked up and carried out in this man's arm. He was wearing a suit. I think it was a black suit.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to walk down the hall out of my bedroom to the left And then he had to go to the right, immediate right, to go out the front door. But before you go out the front door, on your left is the kitchen, and we had a kitchen table because we didn't have a formal dining room in the house. And I saw my dad sitting there, and I looked at him, and I said, "Help me." And my dad looked away and looked down and away. Mm. And they went out the front door twice. And when the neighbors got an alert, then they started taking me out through the living room to the back sliding glass door, which goes to the side of the house because there's a gate. And they put me into their vehicle. But when I started driving, I believe my dad had gotten a VW Beetle, and I was able to drive it. And because I guess my mom said, "No, you cannot take." I remember my mom saying, "No, she cannot take my station wagon anymore. I need it for work." And at this point, my mom transferred. She was a nurse, and instead of working days, she worked nights, three in the afternoon to 11 at night. And sometimes when I was taken, she would work a double. So that way she wouldn't have to know what was really going on. But they would take me out to Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I remember being in a room, and then two of my classmates were there screaming at me, but I was just like really drugged out. And they remembered it clearly because they, I guess, were not drugged. And I remember having a female exam and saying, "She's not good to go with that. So she has to do things orally." And I was a sex slave. You learn how to manipulate men sexually. Mm-hmm. And that's when also the hand-to-hand combat, at this point, you're pumped with drugs. You become like the Hulk. And just like Bucky, who you said was, you know, the super soldier, we were like that. We went through basic training like the Air Force does. I could go over, I could scale a wall when I wasn't in that program. When I came back to my normal self, I couldn't get over that wall.
Wow.
It's like, how can I was like, wow, how could I do that before? And I can't do it now. And could run real fast. And you learn how to be a spy, espionage, coded messages. All of that was physical. And then once I killed enough, and I'm not proud of this, trust me. Once I killed a certain number of people and they knew that I had remote viewing, I was then trained as a psychic assassin.
Wow.
And when it was a spy, I was taken in like a time portal, time travel. I was taken to either somewhere in the United States or somewhere with all brick buildings. And I remember this one guy was standing in the shadows, and it was all brick buildings, and this guy was running down the street. His cover had been blown, and I just stepped back into the shadows, and we learned to disappear. We learned that we can go into, and we're there physically, we learned how to take ourselves back through the time travel.
Wow. What, Do you know why was your dad, why did he sign off on this type of thing? Is it because they had something on him or something, or what?
His boss and supervisor were into illegal things, and they told my dad, and my dad had to go get drunk with them, or he would get fired. So I'm believing that they told him, and he was newly transferred. He had nowhere to go with the company if he was fired. That would be the end of his job and his career.
Mm.
So I believe that's why he did. But my dad also and mom both had a greedy side.
Mm.
And
was the company involved with the government in some way?
No.
Really?
It was a big box store.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow.
All right.
Interesting. Yeah. I had a friend at one point in time who he told me that he was kind of this a same kind of a situation, although his, he said that they, whoever, the government or whoever was involved in this thing, implanted something in his ear, and they could basically send a sound impulse into his ear and keep him up for days and days and days. And it was like a form of torture or something. I don't know if that if that's MK Ultra or what it is, but have you ever heard of anything like that where they're using that kind of a technology?
Extraterrestrials, but the reptilians are behind this entire program, so it's entirely possible the reptilians did it.
Wow. Wow.
That sounds like a conditioning kind of a thing to, because, you know, when one way to condition people is to keep them, give them very little or no sleep, and then restrict their caloric intake, especially like protein, because it keeps them their brain hazy. And so that seems like that's, you know, probably could have been one of those things, or it could have just been a very sadistic experimentation just to see how this person reacts and what it does to somebody to keep them awake like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was MK Ultra, because yeah, there's a lot of different types of experimentations similar to that. And they would also give people drugs and train them that they could not earn above a certain amount of money, or they would be homeless, or they would be this. They mm-hmm. trained their brains and then let them loose.
Hmm. Wild.
Yeah.
So when did you start writing the book? How long ago?
Beginning of August. It took me 3 weeks.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Wow. That's, wow.
6 hours a week. The book's about like 139 pages, and today I uploaded an update on it. So, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so after they turned you into a psychic assassin, how long did this? What else did, like, was this? What next? What happened after that? I mean, what's been happening with, you know? Are they giving you like disinformation to make you think that, or not remember this, or think other things happened, or like what's going on with you? I guess, do you have handlers? All of that. I don't know. Just tell me more.
I have two handlers.
Okay.
One with the FBI and one with the program.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're feeding me disinformation. We won't, people in the program, we don't know. They right. could be feeding us false information. But we won't know the difference between false and true. We think it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if they they may have me somewhere doing something, and then they will feed a different alternate story. But I wouldn't know if it was or wasn't alternate. And they have me training children between fourth and sixth grade before puberty. They want them before puberty. They're finding out there's more success with kids before they hit puberty. Some have been taken as eight years old, 4 years old, trained in psychiatric hospitals, and they get them that way. And I know that the last training I did was with children, and I was teaching them how to, we had a timed sequence. We had a dignitary there, and he knows about the program, of course,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the first time he's utilized it. So it was like we had to get through this building, and they have a set stage that I'm used to working with. And it was like the different stories. And it was like, okay, we have to get down this way. We have to go down here. Now you have to do this. And the kids were scrambling. And I said, breathe. You just need to breathe. You don't, and then you go faster, concentrate, focus. So that was what I was teaching them, was to focus and make sure that you always have your, you know, the person that we're, you know, protecting, make sure you always have two people protecting them. If you can't get out the building, with our superpowers, we can go through, and super strength, we can break a hole in something that's not supposed to be breakable.
Wow.
We can hit it with our head. We don't hit it with our body. We hit it with our fist or kick it with our feet. And for some reason, I don't know what there is with that, something will break. And then I was at the end of that getting the kids going. And then somebody else was going to come in and have them do it faster. And even though I know how to set bombs, they were having somebody else do that because I hadn't been trained, I guess, on the updated bombs or whatever technology. And I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with training children into for the you know, black ops.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's not right.
Yeah.
It's immoral is what it is. Mm-hmm. To do that to children who, you know, well, it's immoral to do it to anybody who doesn't consent. But particularly to children who can't consent because they don't know, for themselves. They don't know, you know, I mean, I'm sure they have an innate, you know, knowing what's right and wrong, but they're also much more malleable on being told what to do and how, you know, and, you know, they can be, unfortunately, I guess, in a way, they can be more useful because of that, because they are easier to control. So, but still, it's immoral. It's that's just wrong.
Well, they're getting them through either their parents or human trafficking.
Mm.
So kids that have disappeared, they can keep them hidden away forever and use them physically, psychically, depending on what their abilities are. And then they can wipe out their entire memory and can set them free.
Wow.
But who's going to believe a child that says, wow, I was a soldier, and I did this, and I jumped that, and I was able to break through a window. How many people are going to believe a kid? Yeah. What dream? You're watching too many of these type of movies, you know, like the Marvel comics, or you're playing too many, you know, games.
Yeah. So how many times have you been to Mars? Do you know?
No, I don't. I only know of the one recently. I don't. I may have been there before because I remember writing coded messages that were numbers and letters. And I was speaking with somebody who had also was an experiencer, and they said it sounds like alien language. So I was also taking coded messages, and as a spy, you know. You drop, like you see in the movies, you drop off a piece of paper and, you know, you meet with someone and just slide it across the table and pick one up.
Are you transporting yourself there? Is it through some sort of mechanism that's happening?
They are transporting me there.
Okay.
But I heard recently that they have cloned bodies, and somebody has said they have seen it. So all they had to do was take hair and can clone. So if somebody says, I physically saw you there, I'm home in bed physically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm basically in two places at one time.
Okay.
But I know that they can also do holograms where we go in and we're not needing to touch someone. So it's possible that even with a hologram, we have physical attributes where we can take things.
What are you doing on Mars? What are you doing there? What's the mission?
I don't know. This was the first time I recalled going.
Wow. Because, I mean, I've heard a lot. I've heard stories before about, you know, children being sent to Mars and, like, all sorts of, you know, different things, that there's some kind of operation that we've had going back years where we've been sending, and it's usually children, to Mars. And, you know, also I've heard the stories about where there's been time travel and they would send children back. And there's one where there's a couple of photographs, but there's one that's a really famous, quote unquote, famous one of a kid at Gettysburg who was a future kid who went back in time and was caught on film in a photograph at the Gettysburg Address. And he was identified as being not from there, or, you know, something. I can't remember exactly the details because a lot of stuff has gone into my brain. Pulling out that much of it has been pretty surprising. But I think because you hear of certain people going to that have been part of programs. And I know at one point somebody said Obama, when he was young, was part of this group and was sent to Mars. And I'm trying to think of other things, but there's always these people who are, you know, having these turn out like famous people or whatever, you know, but it seems like it's odd that the famous people would turn out to be ones part of the program unless they excelled at the program or were good enough to do useful enough in whatever reason, but that they were allowed to carry on and become famous. Because, you know, you don't want, for espionage, for spying, for secret ops and stuff like this, you want the least obvious person and the least obvious people. You don't want somebody who looks like, you don't want James Bond because he's too handsome and too noticeable and too sexy and too, that guy's a spy, you know, whereas you have somebody who's just looks like your normal person that you just walk by, you know, on the sidewalk without thinking twice about, you know, nothing about them sticks out. That's what makes the best spy.
Right.
So I don't know.
So if you have someone who's a celebrity, they have signed a contract. You have CEOs of these big, huge corporations. They sign their soul away. Mm-hmm. That if you do this and you help us do that, you will have all of this money coming in. You can live in a mansion. And it does happen. Mm-hmm. They have actually, and they know what they're doing is wrong. But it was either die or do this.
Right.
And people's survival instincts kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nope, I think I'll stick it out. Then they say later, I wished I would have died.
Right. Yeah.
But Obama, the reason why they allowed him to keep going was because that's what he signed up for.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Very, very interesting stuff. Okay, so now you've kind of danced around it a little bit, but I want to get more into the reptilians. Where do they come in? How did you meet them? And, you know, how are they involved in the program and all that? You know what I'm saying?
They set the whole thing up.
Okay.
They came to the government, I believe it was in the 1940s. And they said, we will give you technology if you give us human beings. Mm-hmm. Let us do what we want in the United States with humans. Built their underground labs. And I have been to one outside of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And they have people who out in remote areas where jobs are scarce. They have people who are willing to do the rough things, like your preppers, who are, really rough and tough, men and women. And there's this one father and daughter who was running the one in Truth or Consequences. And she was ruthless And I was talking with another experiencer about it, and they said, but they didn't know that I had been there. They said, but you look familiar, and I remember being there with them. I was in my sleep, but I was physically there. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking through the underground labs, and he said, people were screaming. I go, yeah. He goes, what were they doing, transitioning them? I said, no. There are people trapped there who did not pass through a certain number of whatever and did not test right, and they put them in cells, then they killed them and feed them to the reptilians.
Wow.
Yep, there are other labs area you walk through. There are rooms with labs. Usually they have their own IT person and everything, and they did hire outside, and the person was getting too nosy, but their IT guy had to go to a different location. And then they learned after that that they had to work two IT people in a property, you know, in an underground lab, if not more, because they had a lot of equipment that they had to oversee. But I remember seeing cages with different animals and people, and, you know, big tubes with people inside the tubes with water, and they were unconscious. So that's how they would keep the people, you know, in stasis to experiment on them to see how they work. And if they ended up dying, then the reptilians got to eat them.
Wow.
And I did pass through a couple of reptilians dressed with, you know, having the almost like what you'd wear with, you know, those real heavy coats or vests or bulletproof vests, and they would go through the area and walk through, but I could walk by them and they'd leave me alone. It was as if I didn't exist.
Dang. Have you had anybody reach out to you that doesn't want your story to be told? Have you met anybody like that?
Oh, yeah, they tried kidnapping me 2 years ago, but that was before my story, when I started talking about, you know, about certain things. I'm questioning things, or I'm saying that my memory is coming back, and they didn't know, was it from my head injury or was it from before? So they got complacent and got cocky, and the guy was really stupid and tried to kidnap me. And I looked at him and I'm like, really? I'm walking my dog at the time, and I just shake my head, and I'm just like, go away. And he was shorter than me, or about the same height. And I'm thinking, this tiny guy, there's no way he can grab me. And me going, and I had my walker and my dog, and I'm just like shaking my head. And he kept going around, and finally, I grabbed six people. There were three couples. And I said, I need your help. You see that guy over there? He's trying to kidnap me. I've had people offer me rides. Well, I can give you a ride. I went, no, that's okay. Person comes out of nowhere I've never seen before, in a vehicle I've never seen, and thinking that I would hop into it. But I've also had... Right now, with my book being out, I'm just getting more supernatural psychic attacks and punishments. And I'm going forward. I don't care. But some people, friends, wanted to put me on their podcast. I said, no. You have enough going on in your life. You don't need that.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
So,
well, thank you. Thank you for coming on ours. You know, now, I mean, that's, I don't think... I don't mean that in a sarcastic way.
But Gloria, should we?
I don't got a lot going on, so it's fine. So
no, because if you get people start getting the word out and start flooding with podcasts,
yeah,
they're not going to be able to plug up all those holes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, you see a lot of that happening in the. In the special ops and the CIA, FBI world, there's been a lot of whistleblowers come out and go on to podcasts and go on to different sources of media and tell their experiences. And it is pretty amazing. I used to tend bar at a place, and I had a customer that used to come in, very unassuming black guy, super nice. We would just chat, just make small talk and stuff. And a few months into it, I just casually asked him what he did, and he told me that he was an FBI agent. And I was like, oh, wow. So I picked his brain a little bit. Yeah, I could tell that when I would get into uncomfortable territory, he didn't want to talk about, you know, these things. But it really is one of those things where you start thinking about, or at least I do it from time to time. I'm like, you know, how many people have I had experiences with just in a daily, you know, casual way that are involved in things that would blow my mind? You know, or how many people have you come across that maybe were a serial killer or someone that has taken someone's life? It's just one of those things that I think about from time to time. And you never know. It's one of those things where, you know, someone like yourself, you know, just a normal person, and you've got all these stories and stuff. It's incredible. You know, you hear about these things and, you know, I've been interested in what the government does and the experiments that they do. And when you talk to some people about it, they're just like, that just can't be real. And you're like, yeah, but it is real. It's true. You know, there's, you know, the hippies in the 60s were taking the drugs that our government was creating and, out of the government's control at that point. But, the cat was out of the bag, you know, for better or worse. And, just it's fascinating stuff, man. I mean, what it makes total sense if you're a logical person, why the government would want to be involved in those things, because they're trying to create like we've been talking about the absolute indestructible soldier, you know. Or how do you manipulate the enemy? That, you know, you do it by these means, you know. So fascinating.
Yep, but interesting about the people they use. Our health has been declining because of what they've done to us.
Mm-hmm.
We would like recognition. We would like free health care. Come on.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And then give us, I was in the United States Air Force as a civilian, I guess. But, you know, it's like, give me back pay for the last 50 years.
Right.
You know, entitled. And you had me killing thousands of people. Not that I'm happy about it. Then people wonder why I have PTSD. Because these things do bleed over into our waking life.
Sure. And you've had a lot of interactions, it sounds like, with people that have experienced things that you have. Is there a common thread there? I mean, you know, conversations that you have with people that ring true to you, like they've experienced the same type of things?
Yes, one woman, I bought her book. Someone said, you need to buy the book Gray Mouse by Olivia James. So I did. I'm just like, whoa, because I was already telling this person about my experiences, said what you're experiencing is similar to Olivia. And I was chatting with Olivia in Messenger on Facebook. And she said, I hadn't experienced this, but this is what I experienced. And by reading her book, was bringing forward some more memories that I had. But there is, you know, this one thing that I haven't had anybody with a common thread. And it was, I remember working in an underground, or like an underground railroad, where people needed to change their identity and hide from their government. And then the different governments were having infiltrators. And at that point, we had a choice to walk away or stay in it. And I said, I'm walking away. And the others were killing the infiltrators, and some of them were being killed. And I just said, no. And these people would be in their 60s to 80s now if they're still alive. But I remember wearing fatigues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, it's like a mad cat.
Okay. Yeah. You're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to get a hot spot.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
I was my internet dropped. It had been out all weekend, and they supposedly fixed it, and it was working until just then. And then, of course, as I was trying to upload or trying to connect, I noticed that there's another Wi-Fi, where you connect to broadcaster that says FBI surveillance van.
Yep, there you go.
But I think that's just somebody what they named it. I don't think that's
somebody with a sense of humor.
I don't think the FBI would be that obvious with it. It is ironic, you know.
She was,
I wonder if that's the same person that lived in the building where I used to that would have that on their FBI surveillance van. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, got a good sense of humor.
Yeah. She was just talking about how she was involved in an underground railroad type situation. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the people are still alive or if they still run the underground railroad where they probably do, where people can disappear into, because we would take them from point A to point B to point C, and then I guess they'd be shipped off to a different country. So I, you know, and then they could be given a whole new identity.
Wow.
Get this. We call it What's Your Weird Story, right? But we don't limit it to weird stories. It's true. Sometimes we have crazy travel and epic adventure stories. Sometimes we do book reports and other special episodes. Sometimes we'll cover some weird news. Sometimes I'll see one of my oldest, dearest friends just dancing around and punching the air for 5 minutes before we sit down and record an episode. But hey, it's all good because it's fun to talk to people, to make new friends, to get in touch and reacquainted with old friends, and hear amazing stories.
Wow. 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 Yeah. Secret space programs. Just a lot of stuff in there that, you know, you hear these stories and, you know, it's just, I'm always... You know, we've talked a little bit before about the MK Ultra program, mm-hmm. and things like that, and it's interesting because there's just not a lot of information out there on it. A lot of it's speculative, and to hear her talk about these things is just it's incredible.
Yeah, because these are the things that were in the 80s and 90s were, you know, the cornerstone of a lot of conspiracy theory and a lot of, you know, rumor, and, you know, and it was not known. But we know now that there were secret, I mean, we know that there's been on both, you know, in Russia and also in the States, we know that there's been secret kind of space programs, you know.
Yep.
Ones that, you know, were developed for other things. We know that there were programs like trying to use psychic powers to create psychic assassins and psychic spies.
Yeah.
We know that that existed now when it used to be rumor. We know that this, you know, MK Ultra, there was, you know, there's this idea of trying to use different methods of manipulation, brain manipulation, to control people and to make them, you know, again, spies or assassins or whatever. We know that these things were attempted. We don't know for certain how successful they were, but we've had more and more people, you know, coming out and saying that they were part of it. And a lot of these people have, unfortunately, have suffered because of it, you know.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, famously, like you mentioned when we were talking about how, you know, it was rumored that Charles Manson was part of it. Yeah. It's definitely been highly speculated that Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was right. part of it. You know, all of, you know, and Gloria's, you know, being part of it as well. And it's just, you know, it's ruins lives, and it's a shadow. I hate to say a shadow government. I hate to say this, you know, whatever. Because a lot of this stuff gets still getting thrown around, but it's more politicized these days.
Yeah.
But there is a history of what you know, of weaponizing people and humans and individuals yeah. who are not military people yeah. necessarily.
Yeah.
Weaponizing civilians regardless of political affiliation
yeah.
and trying to make them into, you know, tools, weapons.
Yeah. It's yeah. Just, I worry about that when it comes to the UFO UAP thing, because I see it as a strategy for mm-hmm. us to use. There's just so many unanswered questions mm-hmm. and, but yeah, it's interesting. And when we go into part two with the question and answers, you know,
yeah,
Tilly helps, you know, sort of get some more information about the first interview that we did. And I know that we're going to have her come back, and we're probably just going to do a straight just question and answer
yes.
type thing, because she has so many interesting stories, and it's yeah. just it's incredible.
Yeah. So if you have any questions for Gloria, please do send them to us through our various, you know, social media outlets, or through, you know, through Facebook or Instagram, or our email at wywspod@gmail.com. Send us your questions for Gloria there. You can call the hotline, leave a message there, which is 513-909-9821. Get a hold of us, send us your questions, because we know a lot of people have a lot of questions, because this is Gloria's had her experiences are just remarkable, and we yes. would love to hear from you. And she's more than willing and happy to answer questions,
yeah.
especially for Weirdsville. She loves Weirdsville, yeah. and she's shared a lot of this information with us. And we've been very fortunate to be, you know, some of who she has chosen to share it with.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get out of here, just real quick, have you heard about the second moon that is entering into our orbit?
Mm-hmm.
It starts on September 29th and goes through November 25th, and it's an asteroid that has been captured by our gravity, and that we'll be able to see for about a month. So I think mm-hmm. that's really cool, man.
Yeah, and you know, another interesting thing that's happening around the same time, I don't remember the exact dates, but Saturn is going to lose its rings for about, I think, 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it's not really going to lose its rings, but from our point of view on Earth, it's going to appear that it's lost its rings, because we'll be looking at it and it will be flattened out.
Oh, wow.
So that we won't be able to see it, but then they'll come back when
it changes its axis.
Oh, that's
cool, man.
And so.
Amazing.
Amazing, man. The universe is, our galaxy is full of amazing, weird things. The universe is full of amazing, weird things. And we're big fans of all of it. We love it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to a podcast with Avi Loeb. Do you know who Avi Loeb is?
He's the guy that discovered the Mamomamame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Amuamua, right?
Amuamua.
I don't know how I remember that, but yeah, that's right. But you talk about a brilliant mind, and you know, he was talking about how the Earth, or how the sun generates power, and talking about the Big Bang theory and all that kind of stuff. It's just I love listening to that stuff, and it's really captivating to me. And yeah, anytime we can talk about that kind of stuff is cool. It's a home run for me. So
awesome. Well, tune in next time as we are back with Gloria and with Tilly, special correspondent and master of questions. Tilly's got a lot of great questions, and which we hadn't thought of, which are really fantastic. Yeah. But also a lot of like personal questions for her. But join us next time, and until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them,
We want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.